Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Now, on Friday, we did a call-in for immigrants from anywhere with news from your country of origin that we may have missed because the news media, including the show, have been so obsessed with the two stories of impeachment and Syria. And we did get important and interesting stories from all over the world on Friday. Today, we'll go from the global stories we've missed to the hyper-local stories we've missed. And we haven't missed everything. We're still committed to our local coverage here. We had this Speaker of the City Council on today as just one example, talking about various things. We had two reporters on the Rikers Island closure debate before it happened on the day of, as well as all the coverage we've done on that for months and years. But in the short term, yes, a lot of impeachment, a lot of Syria, as intense and demanding as those stories are right now. So we'll wrap up this this show for today with a call in for listeners to tell us what's happening in your neighborhood or your community or on your block in New York, New Jersey, or Connecticut. What news did we miss this past week or so from your corner of the world or even your corner because we've been so busy covering impeachment in the Middle East? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Give us the news from your block. Give us the news from your neighborhood. Give us the news from your city or town, anywhere in New York, New Jersey, or Connecticut. 212-433-9692. For example, did you know that in New Jersey, 265 bears were killed during last week's black bear hunt? It was the season. The annual bear hunt restricted hunters to bows and arrows for the first 3 days. Afterwards, muzzle-loading weapons were also permitted. It did not happen without protests. Governor Murphy promised he would end the tradition, but settled on a compromise that imposed more restrictions on hunters. Here's a protester, Eleanor Hoffman.
Totally betrayed is more of the word. Betrayed, lied to, let down. It's really disheartening. I actually crossed party lines to be because he said he was going to stop the bear hunt. So I'm a Republican, and I voted Democrat only because he promised that he was going to stop the bear hunt.
So there's one New Jersey story. On the Upper West Side of Manhattan, police are searching for four men who are suspected of attacking a woman walking under the scaffolding near 200 Amsterdam Avenue. That's Amsterdam and 69th Street. The assailants attempted to steal her purse, but the woman held on. Surveillance footage was taken from the scene. So there's one from one block. A famous block in Bay Ridge, known as Doctors Row, is newly designated as a historic district. The designation will help protect and preserve the facades of the historic homes in the area. Doctors Row earned its nickname because of the many physicians that have kept their offices there over the years. It's located on Bay Ridge Parkway between 4th and 5th Avenues, if you didn't know. One more. While the U.S. Women's National Soccer Team took home the World Cup this summer, a local soccer team in Westchester won the national championship for boys 15 and under. The team was the premier soccer club based in Mount Kisco, and they played a team called FC Transylvania Inc., or maybe that's, I'm a little confused on this point, but over the four-day tournament this July in Colorado, Mount Kisco's team won undefeated. So a little good youth sports news from Mount Kisco there. How about you? Give us the news from your corner, your block, your neighborhood, your town, your city, your county, anywhere in New York, New Jersey, Connecticut that we may have missed over the week just past, hyper-focusing on impeachment in Syria. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, and we'll take your calls right after this. Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and now to your news from your corner, your block, your neighborhood, your town, your county, anywhere in New York, New Jersey, or Connecticut. Natasha in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Natasha.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
What you got?
We're concerned because the schools are being used for early voting sites, which we're all for. I think it's wonderful. However, we're concerned about the safety of the students in those schools for that time period, that just anybody will be allowed into the school. You know, usually in the school, parents to come pick up their children can't even walk around in the school or have to show ID, and now just anybody can. And then there's some questions with regards to ADA as well, because there's one little small elevator and they've changed the address of the polling site. So we're just, you know, wanted to make sure people know that out there.
So when the early voting takes place, school is not out in your school.
Correct.
On that day.
Correct.
What would make you comfortable?
What would make me comfortable? I think it would be either having it in a different city building, for example, not necessarily in a school or an elementary school, a place that would make it easier for people who have disabilities to access the poll sites. I would think it would be just having it at a better location. And again, we're for early voting. We don't have a problem with that.
I understand.
It's just, you know, the way it's
set up. Don't want it there. Natasha, thank you very much. Jessica in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Jessica.
Hi, thanks for having me. I'm calling because National Grid is still denying service to small business owners in Brooklyn, and they're going to be putting people out of business. Winter is coming, and small business owners and residences in Brooklyn need the heat. National Grid warned corporations that they would be instituting this moratorium, but they did not give the same advance notice to, for instance, my friend's small business.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to be facing bankruptcy or going out of business if they can't get heat in their studio.
Do you have a sense that your friend's business and a lot of customers are being used as political pawns in National Grid's battle with the city and the state? And both the mayor on the show and the governor on the show have denounced what National Grid is doing in this respect. But National Grid seems to want this particular pipeline.
Yes.
Green-lighted. And do you feel like they're using people as pawns?
Yes, they're using them as pawns. They're holding them hostage. And these are people also who, you know, whether they support the pipeline or not, they deserve to get the service that they had been told that they would receive.
Jessica, thank you very much. Patrick in Yorkville, you're on WNYC. Hi, Patrick.
Hi, my name is Patrick Boblin. Nice to talk to you, Brian. Thanks for having me on. So what happened about 2 weeks ago is the Manhattan County Committee, which for your listeners is basically like the DNC for Manhattan, elected a new chair, basically the Tom Perez of the county committee.
Or another way, just to, because I appreciate that you're trying to put this in context for other listeners, part of what happened when Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez won her county primary, her congressional primary in Queens, was that she defeated Joe Crowley, who, besides being a member of Congress, was the head of the Democratic Party for Queens. And so his power base for that collapsed after that. So we have the same thing in Manhattan, only nobody knows who it is.
Right. So it was Nico Minerva, and there was an attempt by some reformers. I count myself on the left with the reformers to oust this person. The person being nominated was Ben Yee, someone who I had supported for Public Advocate, a friend of mine. But I found out through other people he had some unresolved sexual assault and harassment charges over his head, just fully unresolved, and he admits to some of them. And so I stood up and I wagered my whole political future and sort of let this be known to the 1,000-member group, where there was a lot of booing. And then the candidate for reform, Ben Yee, goes up, and he says everything I said was a lie. And then I kind of stormed the stage, and it turned into a little bit of a tussle, but nothing physical or violent. So that was not really covered by the news. It was briefly covered by the New York Post. But
What's at stake other than personalities?
What's that?
What's at stake other than personalities?
the ability to lead the county Democratic Party. So it's the county committee elects people for vacancies.
Sure, I understand that, what the powers are. But what, I mean, we're talking about Manhattan Democrats in all cases here. So is there one vision that's more progressive or more something else than the other one? What's at stake?
What was at stake was a progressive vision, and I felt that the reformers were putting that progressive vision ahead of the voices of victims and people who were in that audience who told me later on that they had been stalked, that they had been harassed, and that they thanked me for standing up. But, you know, there wasn't a lot of support from the reformers because they kind of privileged that vision before the voices of the marginalized.
Sounds thuggish if it's as you describe.
Yeah, it was rough, man.
Patrick, thank you very much. Julia in... Oh, I'm sorry, we'll get to Julia next. Sorry, up next was Anat in Roslyn. Anat, you're on WNYC. Hi.
Hi, thank you.
What you got?
So we have airplanes flying really low over our home. That's Long Island, Nassau County.
Yeah.
But honestly, it happens all over Long Island. We're affected by both airports, JFK and LaGuardia, and we're talking about every 90 seconds, that's every minute and a half, a plane flies very low over my particular house, but it is a Long Island-wide problem. It has happened because the FAA has a system that pinpoints the locations of airplanes in the sky, creating sort of a very particular highway. And so the planes literally ride right one after the other in an everlasting chain. It never stops. It's 24 hours a day.
Has it always?
LaGuardia does stop after midnight, but JFK never does.
Has it always been like that in Roslyn, or have they changed the lanes?
No, it has not. It has not. And there is some runway closure at JFK. That makes the situation worse. But with flights numbers overall increasing over the years, and the fact that the FAA has implemented this very targeted location of how airplanes should come in, that has made certain neighborhoods suffer more than others. So basically, it would be great. There would be an even disbursement of the burden.
So they come in different lanes at different times over different neighborhoods. And thank you very much for bringing it to people's attention. Julia in Bushwick, you're on WNYC. Hi, Julia.
Hi, Brian. Great to speak with you. I just wanted to let everyone know that there is a new exhibition composed exclusively of light art and optical media, which is a really special event in Long Island City, Queens, at the Plaxel Gallery. I'm a participating artist. There are about 20 artists, and the Center for Holographic Arts has curated the show, and that's a really special and unique institution that's unparalleled throughout the U.S. that's based here in New York. So people can come see it through November 17th. It's open Thursday, 6 to 10 p.m., and weekends, 12 to 5 p.m. at Plaxel Gallery on 46th Ave in Long Island City.
Can you put into words, is it possible for the radio audience, what some of this light art or holographic art looks like?
Sure, yeah. There's some acrylic layered sculptures which have special optical lights beamed through them. I've composed some hand-cut work with projections layered over it, which creates refractions throughout the room. And there's a really beautiful, large, silvery piece that people can walk amongst that creates these shards of light around the audience and on the walls. So the work is really boundless, and it's rare to have a large space exhibition where the lights are turned off for this work to flourish. So it's a great opportunity for people to see something special like that.
Thank you so much, Julia. Karen in Yonkers, you're on WNYC. Hi, Karen.
Hi, Brian. How are you? I just want to make sure that your listeners are aware of their opportunity to help make a difference voting-wise, even outside of New York, by participating in sister district initiatives where local volunteers, we're doing this in Southern Westchester, and I know it's going around in many other places, are calling voters, particularly in purple states, to remind them of the importance of voting.
Thank you very much. And let's see. We have time for one more. Jono in the West Village. Jono, you're on WNYC. Hi.
Hey, good afternoon. The issue I'd like to discuss is supermarket access. Now, of course, in more challenged neighborhoods, that's an issue of life or death. But even in the West Village, it gets a little hinky when we have a supermarket that just closed on West 13th Street, a health food market, and an associated market that closed on West 14th Street, which was for all the basics. And that storefront is still vacant, nothing being used there. It implies the neighborhood is either not cooking or not domestic or now just expensive because of the St. Vincent's million-dollar condos. But, I mean, thank God for D'Agostino's, but the West Village doesn't really have a community supermarket anymore, and I guess that's the nature of gentrification. We're figuring it out, but it's definitely a sign that things are changing.
Do you think, real quick, that it's rents also, like rents going through the roof, commercial rents, or is it really that you live in a neighborhood now where, you know, as you say, people don't cook?
Combination, right? Because if the commercial rents go up because the residential rents are desirable, and if you bring in a class of people that don't cook or don't do a weekly, yes, you know, gathering around the kitchen, that drives up and alters an entire, you know, vibe, yes, and culture and rituals of a neighborhood.
Jono, I have to leave it there because we're flat out of time. Thanks to all of you for your calls from your corner, your block, your neighborhood, your town, your county.